Okay. I should have hit start before you said yeah. Say yeah again. I like that yeah. That's good yeah.
Yeah.
That's a really good yeah. You should be, you know how they have models and they have hand models? You should be a yeah model. We didn't decide who's going to do the intro, Joe, so let's do it together.
Okay.
Welcome, everybody.
To the Just Be Cousins podcast.
I'm Jason Mark.
And I am Joseph Neal.
We're two brothers from the same grandmother, but a different mother. Joe, take over.
Well, that's cousins. Brothers from the same mother. Or no, the different mother. Same grandmother.
Brothers from a different grandmother, but the same. Oh, no, same grandma.
It's Just Be Cousins.
That was almost the very first Reichsop break that did not have, Reichsop break that did not have talking in it. But the last second you squeeze it in and save the day. Hooray for Joe! Woohoo! So what's going on, my friend? My bro, my cuz, fam?
I anticipated this show being very laid back.
Yeah, already.
couldn't even remember that we were brothers from another mother but the same grandmother.
Yeah, there we go.
Another. It seemed really difficult to put that together.
It was, I used the word different for some reason, and that just threw the whole thing off, because it's not different mother, it's another mother. You know?
Right.
So
what are we going to talk about today?
Well, let me explain to the audience why we may have a little bit of a, I don't know, change of tone just for today, I think. Last weekend, I spent several days with Joe and his wife and friends, and we did an episode, which we have not posted yet, so don't worry, you're not out of order, even though when I post it, it will be out of order. Anyway, we had a really good time, and we kind of, quote-unquote, got it out of our system, so now we don't really have anything to talk about. We didn't prepare, right, Joe? No topic today?
Nope, coming in cold.
Cold. I do have some things I can bring up if you want.
That's great. Well, I want to say, well, I have a boring question to ask.
Yeah. All right.
When you post, I'm guessing you'll post this one first.
Probably.
And this will be episode 129, and then you'll post
129
show, right?
No, I think it's 120. Shoot, I clicked on the wrong folder. I think it's 126 or 7.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, you'll be posting this show, and then for the first time you'll be posting the show before it, after that.
Yeah, so what I think is going to happen is I'm going to post today's show. I'm going to call it 127, but in terms of like chronology, like time, it'll be before 126. And if anybody has a problem with that, like our archivists, you know, like 2,000 years, people like, and in the Simpson century, there's some jeopardy. Let's try. And people say, Professor, why does it go 127, 126? And the professors will say, and the students will be like scratching on the notebooks really fat, or whatever it is up there, like finger on the pad or iPad or. Jump in any time here, man. I'm just babbling.
Well, the reason why we couldn't post the show right away is because we had... It's really fun, by the way, to do the show with you sitting here with me.
It was good.
I'm not used to it. It was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And then we had a bunch of people here with us. Well, you know, my wife and White Chocolate Fog, Ryan, and Fun Time Shags.
Yeah.
And they were all drinking. And one of the reasons why we can't post the show is because a lot of times... Everyone was talking at the same time and laughing just chaotically the whole time. So what I've tried to do is just clean it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And
so
I'm not done. Not done doing that. But
you're
just editing
a lot.
The show. I've been having fun. There was lots of fun. I had to cut out an entire thing about koala chlamydia, which I call koalidema. Koalidema.
Can you separate that out and like just put it in a montage or something, even though it's noise and no one will understand?
Yeah, I can do that. Anyway, there was an entire conversation about koala chlamydia. And I had to take the whole thing out because everybody was just screaming about koalas fucking, and it was weird. Everybody seemed to be having a good time, but I don't think it would be fun for anyone to listen to.
Right.
So chopped it out. And
you know something I just thought of? Just so we can go off on a tangent because it's what we do. Mm-hmm. Like, humans get chlamydia. I mean, they wish they didn't, but they do. And koalas get chlamydia. But I would have thought that whoever discovered the disease in the koala was probably not a people disease expert, and he's just he or she's poking around there going, oh, here's this disease that is like this and like this. And that person knew about people chlamydia, so that's what they called it, but you know, if they didn't, they would have called it like, oh, this koala has clamp structures or something, you know? So it's like, what kind of weirdo knows people guts and koala guts at the same time? That's two schools you have to go to.
I was just thinking that they recognized the molecule.
Molecule. What is chlamydia? Is that molecule?
Well, there's some sort of molecule, chlamydia, iris is it? Or whatever, but there's some sort of structure to chlamydia.
I guess
koalamydia is probably similar to and causes the same types of symptoms and is transmitted sexually, you know.
So
with humans, it's human fucking. With koala, it's koala fucking.
So, said it's a virus?
Put two and two together.
You know what happened? Koala fucked a human. Koala fucked a human. And that's where they figured it out. Patient zero. Koala zero. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, this is
koala
nothing.
Has koala anymore. Because I had sex with the koala, and I had chlamydia, and now this koala is sick.
Do you think it went...
Let's change the subject.
No, real quick, just two things. One, hey, everybody, this is not what we were talking about when we were talking about this on the last next show. And also, two, I forgot what I was going to say. Do you think... Which D came first, the koala chlamydia or the people chlamydia? Who gave it to whom?
Apparently, koalas have insatiable sexual appetites.
Yeah.
So I think that a human might have been raped by a koala.
Yeah, probably. I wonder if they've got all the other ones too, like koala gonorrhea, which would be a great name for something. I don't know.
Koanaria?
Koanaria. Well, that sounds like somebody in Hawaii who's got really bad bowel movements. Hey-o. You're right. Let's change the subject. I've been listening to a lot of Joan Jett lately. Joe?
Really?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Joan Jett?
So, it's like this. Like, every once in a while, one of her songs pops into my head, okay? And then, if it happens enough, I'll go to YouTube and watch the video of it. And this is true. I value people for their character. I put character even before talent. But I don't know Joan Jett, so I can only go off of what I see in here. She was smoking hot. She still is, actually. And I feel bad that that's what's going through my head as I'm watching this gifted musician. But let's not go philosophical. I'm going to go more silly. She plays a rhythm guitar in her band. It's been my understanding that usually the person who writes the songs will play rhythm guitar because they don't have the skill to play real guitar, so they have to get like a rhythm guitar because they're the ones writing all the songs and or singing. Is that true, musician Joe?
Well, it really depends on the musician, and it depends on whether you like that musician. What I'm trying to say is Billy Corgan plays a mean lead guitar, and he also writes the songs.
And he sings.
So maybe that's an exception to that. I think there's many exceptions. I think what you're saying is, yes, many songwriters don't have, like, virtuosic. Is that a real word?
It is now.
They don't have that level of skill on their instrument, but they're very skillful when it comes to maybe chord structure or, you know, finger picking, arpeggio patterns and whatnot.
Arpeggio patterns.
They pull that off, and then they team up with a lead guitarist that can kind of do that job, and they get down.
So, like, you got three friends, and you're like, let's start a band. And you say, okay, who here has any kind of... No. Let me change your mind. Four friends. One who's the best looking is the singer or lead... No. I changed it again. Four friends. Whoever's best look, good looking, the best looking is lead singer. Whoever's the least good looking is lead guitarist. The one who is either skinniest or can handle being the skinniest is the drummer. And then the guy who actually has some kind of intelligence but no playing ability whatever is the rhythm guitarist. And now I know what you're saying. You're saying, what about bass guitar? You got to go find one of those special. Do not just throw bass at somebody like your Paul McCartney or something. Don't do it. Go get somebody who's good.
Man.
No bass, no rock.
Some bands like Blues Traveler mm-hmm. just have to put John Popper mm-hmm. in the lead position, and it doesn't matter because, you know, I don't think he's a conventionally handsome fellow, but he's just so badass. Of course, he's going to be the leader of the band.
Well, here's how I'm putting them together.
Tom Petty, some people would say that Tom Petty is butt ugly.
Tom Petty is butt ugly. Well, he's a bone structure now, so.
But he's going to be the center of the band because he's Tom Petty and he's a hell of a songwriter. I have to go back to Joan Jett because...
Yeah,
because
I want to, too.
Well, yes, she is very good looking. And I'm not sure how awesome she is at playing the guitar. I can tell you that I think every song that was a hit for her, she did not write. I'm not sure if she's a good songwriter.
I think she... Okay, so...
Let's think of the hit.
I Love Rock and Roll. Was that the one that was... Yeah, that's a remake.
She didn't write that one.
That was a remake. No, let's not go there. Again, this is not supposed to be a serious conversation. I want those to be silly. We can just put a muck bark and say, we will come back to Joan Jett's writing ability when we do another music episode. No. I want to talk about...
I'm going to say this. Okay. Joan Jett, she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And every single number one hit or any type of hit that she's ever had, she did not write. That's a little weird.
Didn't she write the music for The Runaway? No, I don't want to talk about this, Joe. God damn it, quit being
all
so
right,
smart.
Fine.
I'm going to have to insult you now. I'm going to have to mention asses and balls and pricks because that's how we roll.
What was that noise? Is that your butt or your face?
It was not my face. So you just like, you know, you
did
say...
Did you just fart on the podcast?
Absolutely not. Time. No. Why would I do that? You can do some things, but that's where I draw the line. That line is my taint.
All of our listeners should know that we've talked about a lot of farts, but I've never heard a real fart on this show.
Hey, I'm resting the microphone on my belly because my desk is vibrating because it's hot here in Seattle, Texas, and my computer's fans are working over hard. But just like we put John Popper at the head of Blues Traveler, and he's not... No. Let's go to Tom Petty. You're right. Not a conventionally good-looking man, but because he's at the front and because he gets to represent all this talent, he's better looking. And that's what I'm saying about Joan Jett. Tell me, is it that I think is like, does she go up a couple levels? Because I find her musicianship remarkable. I mean, yeah, she's not this brilliant lead guitarist, but she sings good and she's got a lot of attitude. So, I mean,
that's true.
So you, Joe, you were in a band. And did you feel that people thought you were better? Such an asshole question. Do you think people thought you were... Sorry. Do you think...
The only fucking reason why anybody ever let me in a band is because they thought I was good looking, man.
Okay.
There was no talent to speak of. They were just like, he's kind of cute, right?
Oh, man.
I don't know, man. I don't know why anybody ever let me in a band.
Should I tell?
I don't think I was a super hot dude, and I wasn't extraordinarily talented either. But then I just got in with some people that tolerated what I was trying to present, and I think those band members made my material better. And, yeah, that's it.
I think out of all of our same grandmother's grandsons... You're easily the best looking amongst all of us. That ain't nothing, but that's a low bar to jump over.
Let's face it. My father's the most attractive dude in the bunch.
Starting, if we don't go down,
he's in his 60s, and I think he's got us all beat.
Yeah, but there's only, if we're going to start with him, I mean, that generation and older, he's one of the youngest, so of course he's going to look. This is weird. Can I tell people what album cover you look like, or would that be giving away too much?
No. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But this is how you think I looked when I was a little kid, right?
So
this
do
is
the you.
Thing, right?
Yeah, so do you.
Right.
Was it Joshua Tree or Fighting with Criminals? What was the name of it? I don't even know.
Where the fuck did you come up with that? Fighting with Criminals?
I don't know. I've had a lot of wine.
It's a U2 album, mm-hmm. And I think it's either War mm. Boy, or it's the boy on the war.
It's album. War, yeah.
And it's just a picture of a kid, and apparently that kid looked like me when I was a kid. That kid looks nothing like me now.
Well, who knows? We should go find that kid and see what he looks like now. How would that be awesome? That would be memesters. We could like put a picture up on our website and said, "Remember the kid on the cover of War by U2 back in the 80s or something or 90 or whatever? What does he look like now?"
Well, if he looks like Dom DeLuise now, then he looked like me about a year ago. But now I look like Dom DeLuise.
You don't look like Dom DeLuise. You don't even look like Haley Joel Osment, who does look like Dom DeLuise. So there you go. There's that. Sixth Sense. Yeah. What were we talking about? Oh, you. So I was trying to say, did anybody think you were more better looking than you are, but you decided to flip it and say I was the hottest thing coming and I couldn't even play the guitar. But you're a good guitarist. You play guitar so well, you even have a guitar in your guest room.
Yeah. I made sure that guitar was I wiped the dust off of it so it would be a good decoration
yeah.
in the room, because I knew you wouldn't pick it up and play it. But
why
maybe
not?
You did in the middle of the night.
I kind of wanted to, and I didn't think I couldn't, but, you know, I don't know how to tune these things. I've got a bad ear, so, yeah. Anyway.
I knew this would be a rambling show.
That's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
So we
ramble.
We do. We ramble. So, yeah, I've been watching a lot of Joan Jett. This weekend, I will be helping coach a 3-year-old's soccer team, and that's just going to be I don't even know. That's just going to be,
what do they do, run drills?
Yeah, we run drills, a lot of push-ups, a lot of laps. That's nothing.
A lot of screaming in little kids' faces.
Yeah, you don't know how to play. Yeah, I like, yeah, maggots. It's a good name for them because maggots are also very young, so you got maggots, you got kids. Okay, that's boring.
I just pictured you as like a hardcore drill sergeant, just inappropriate, cruel to all these little kids, and they're just crying.
They're just crying.
They won't even run for you. They just break down and cry because you're screaming in their face.
Why? So, well, if you want to be the highest paid athlete on the planet, that's a soccer player, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. But the kids won't know. They won't know I'm not lying. I mean, they won't know that I am lying.
Did you just pull that out of the ether, or do you really think that's true?
I think that Messi guy got a contract for, like, I want to say $90 million. I don't know. I don't have all the internets in front of me right now. But that soccer player from that country there where they don't speak English, he's famous. He's the, whose guy married that Spice Girl?
Beckham.
He's the Beckham of the now. But he's not from England. He's from... It's interesting. You think that you can name so many. I mean, not you, but one can name one who's not into soccer. I'm not into U2 either. Just by the way, I can name two of their albums. I don't even like them, and I don't watch a lot of soccer. And I can name famous soccer players: Messi, Pele, Beckham, Sylvester Stallone in the soccer remake of The Longest Yard. So, you know, that's something.
Very good.
Yeah. You remember that movie?
The Longest Yard?
Actually, I think...
I think you got that all wrong.
Okay, what's the...
all wrong.
No. The Longest Yard is a movie starring Burt Reynolds about some inmates who play a game of football against the guards, right?
Yeah, and that was remade with, like, Adam Sandler or something.
Really? Okay. But didn't Sylvester Stallone do a movie where the prisoners. These were prisoners of war, though, and Pele was in this movie.
Oh, I see. Yeah. It was kind of like The Longest Yard.
Yeah.
They did it with soccer. I couldn't put that together.
Yeah.
I can't think, man.
Well, it's weird because all this stuff from our past is coming back to bite us in the butt. I could have said ass and it would have rhymed, but I chose not to. Like, you know, Super Downer, the guy who made Lady Hawk the great movie that it is, Mr. Blade Runner himself passed away, right? That's sad. Remember when he was in that movie about the guy who crash landed in a jungle and he went blind and some dude taught him how to be a sword fighter? What was that movie?
Good God, who are you talking about? Ridley Scott?
Rutger Hauer, you uncultured.
Rutger Hauer passed away?
You didn't hear this?
No.
My God.
All right. I need to text my dad. Rutger Hauer, dead.
He didn't know that?
Apparently not. He would have texted me.
We could have.
We always text each other right when a celebrity dies. That's
the. Is he still? Was he? He was 75 when he passed away. I don't know if he was still a celebrity. He died in the Netherlands because that's where he was born. He was born in Broekhuizen, but he died in Beatrice-Vaag.
Well, hey, man, R.I.P. Rutger Hauer.
Yeah,
you were cool. How was your trip?
It was a lot of fun. It was really, really relaxing. Just laid back. I drank so many beers, ate some really, really, really good food, hung out with some cool people. You know, it's funny. The first time I met Shags in the flesh, I think there was something else going on in the ether or something, so we didn't get a chance to chat or anything. And then this time, I think we both thought we were going to see each other other than the first time we did, which was when we podcasted, but we didn't. And it's like, I need hang out with Shags time, dude. That was my only complaint about the trip. Everything else was great.
Yeah, it was really cool to see you. I had a great time.
It was good. Yeah, we had so folks. We do, this is true. You know how when we stop being funny, which is all the time, and talk about some serious-ass topic? That's what Joe and I did for pretty much 4 days straight, just without being on recording.
Yeah, hey, I just realized what might be happening here.
Okay.
I anticipated, you know, after the trip, and, you know, it was really cool to see it. And when you first showed up, since most of our conversations are on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
remember we both commented on like, wow, I kind of feel like I'm on the podcast right
yeah.
now.
Yep.
And then we discussed how pretty soon we won't feel like we're on a podcast and we'll just be able to talk with each other like family members,
mm-hmm.
you know, that aren't recording their conversation. And we did.
Mm-hmm.
We got to that point and it was really cool. We got to really catch up and, I think, in a way, get to know each other in a, you know, more meaningful way than maybe we ever have before. And now we're back on the show, and I'm having a hard time transitioning back to
yeah.
just being recorded.
That and, makes and sense.
Being on the show.
That makes sense. Well, I'll tell you what.
This is my cowardly disclaimer for the poor quality of this episode.
Well, okay, so this episode is not even halfway over yet, so it could get really good.
That's true. So
you kind of
you did fart.
I'm again not confirming or denying it, much the same way that Joan Jett will not confirm or deny that she is bisexual and or lesbian.
If Joan Jett looked like Tom Petty, do you think that she would have had as successful of a career?
Yeah, I do, because I can't speak for
based
all men,
on
but
her talent and her attitude.
Absolutely.
That she's smoking hot.
Oh, no. I think, yeah.
She wouldn't be smoking hot if she looked like Tom Petty.
Right. No, I think if she looked like Tom Petty, she still would have been as successful. But I'm not going to say she would have been even more successful because that's just stupid. But I can't speak for all men, but maybe, Joe, you can corroborate this or you can contradict it. That's how free will works. If I am watching a woman with a lot of talent, whether it's a rock star or a comedian or any kind of performer, actually anybody who's just really, really smart, like very, very funny, or like I'm reading their books, whatever, instantly hot, will do them whenever they want. That's just True. So if Joan Jett looked like Tom Petty, I would have found Tom Petty very attractive.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
How about you? Do you find that people who have a lot of talent and or intelligence, are they somehow hotter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Does the reverse...
We've talked about that before, but I know this is... I just suspect that Joan Jett being super hot actually was a significant component. And I know that's maybe disrespectful to Joan Jett, but there's something fishy going on there when I just feel like she doesn't have the amount of talent as a songwriter or a guitar player, even with all that attitude. I feel like her being hot really helped her out. I'm not trying to be misogynist. I'm trying to be realistic.
Yeah. No, fair enough. You are perhaps based solely on musicianship. You are perhaps questioning her worthiness of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And you're therefore attributing some of her success to an X factor, which at your best guess is her attractiveness.
Well, I think that Ted Nugent, let me put it this way. I think he's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because he is a dirty fuckass.
Yes.
This and just politically, he's not aligned. There's no way that they would let that guy get on stage and give an acceptance speech.
Oh no, he'd bring
for
up
for any reason. But I would argue that he, when it comes to skills and songwriting ability, even though I'm not a huge fan of his work, at least he wrote a bunch of songs and he wrote like classics. And I don't think that Joan Jett can say that.
Okay,
he is.
Look, stop. Arrête, which is French for stop. Do you know how to say stop in Spanish? Stop. Look. This is not the music episode, and we have neither the prep nor the sobriety, at least half of us don't have the sobriety, to cogently discuss the social cult context in which an artist thrives, such as Joan Jett and or Ted Nugent. Okay? I want to talk about base level things. I want to giggle. I want to embarrass you and me. I want us to be embarrassed when we're done. Like usual, Joe, maybe we should pick a topic, but not music.
Well, how about this? You ever heard the adage? Is this an adage? You ever heard the saying where someone's like, "Wow, I really got taken to the cleaners."
Yes.
You ever heard that before?
Yeah.
Do you ever use that?
Man, no.
I feel like I've been taken to the cleaners here.
No. Have you ever used it?
No, but I've been thinking about it a lot.
Doesn't taken to the cleaners mean all money taken? Like if somebody takes you to the cleaners, they won the bet or they, you know, stole all your money. Isn't that what it means?
Yeah, that's what I thought it meant. Is, you know, oh man, I'm not going to go and buy a used car because they're just going to fucking take me to the cleaners.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, it's a money thing, right?
Yeah.
And then you've also heard, like, you know, I'm just going to bend over and take it. Like,
oh, my God. Yeah. What's wrong, dude? What's been going on? Why are you thinking these things? I'm obsessing on Joan Jett and crap, and you're over here taking it up the butt because you want to be getting to the cleaners.
Okay, so bear with me.
Okay.
I'm gonna get to something goofy. The thing is, those are kind of related, I guess, because it's like, you know, nobody wants to get fucked, like figuratively. Like nobody wants to get fucked.
Right.
And you can be taken to the cleaners, or like you could just be fucked. Like, oh man, I'm just gonna bend over because like I know I'm gonna get fucked here. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I got bent over. You know, and
you feel like that?
I'm not presenting this well, but knew somebody for a long time, and I've been thinking about this. It made me giggle while I was driving. I knew this guy who's an older gentleman, and he always used to say, he used to combine the two and say, and it just, it puts a weird spin on it. He'd be like, oh man, you know, last week was really hard. I feel like I've been bent over and taken to the cleaners. he would bring it up in all sorts of different contexts where he's just like, man, I beat that guy at ping pong so many times. Like every time he picks up a ping pong paddle, I just fucking bend him over and take him to the cleaners. And I always, the whole time, every time he said that, I never questioned him, and I would get like a little smirk on my face, and kind of just like wait around and wait for him to say it again. He said it all the time.
That's my new favorite phrase, and probably the title of today's show. Dover and taken to the cleaners.
But I mean, that's if you think about that phrase in a literal sense, it's really harsh, because then it like turns into like not only your, it's like an enema, like you've been bent over and taken to the cleaners.
Your there's that.
It's been cleaned out.
Your shit's been cleaned out. It's like you're fucked. Somebody fucked you broke. You're broke fucked. Broke fucked. Broke fucked.
That's just a pretty good name for a show, too.
I just real quick, I kept saying it over and over again because I was watching the WAV file on Audacity to see if it was exactly the same, and it was. That's so cool. Broke fucked. I was going to ask you another question. Are there other like adages we can put together to make funny sayings for when we're old?
Think of an adage. Just any like,
adage. A stitch in time saves nine? Or is that too long? It's kind of long. How about, okay, I'll do this one. This is an adage, it's just things that people say. Okay, I changed my mind, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say busted ass,
but... I got to tell you, I don't think we got what it takes.
Absolutely not. And if you're some sort of pathetic loser who listens to JBC, you have to wait another 29 minutes because we're going the full hour. Yeah. My dad used to say this phrase, and I never understood where it came from. I know what it means because of context, but I don't know why it means that. He goes, "What else you gonna do? Shit in your white hat?"
Yeah. Where does that come from?
I have no idea. Some movie.
Of that.
I think it's a Mel.
I've never heard that in my life.
Really. Oh, yeah.
And I've never heard it from your father either, and I'm really familiar with his kind of turns of phrase.
Yeah.
He's never brought that old Jim up, if it's an old Jim.
Well, he's been saying it since I was a little kid.
In a white hat.
Yeah. I keep thinking Mel Brooks. I keep thinking maybe it's in a movie with Mel Brooks. My dad likes Mel Brooks. Do you like Mel Brooks, Joe? I like Mel Brooks. Is he alive still? No, he died. No, he's not. Where is he?
No, he's really old though. Like, yeah, I'm really glad he's still around.
He's older than Rutger Hauer was though. So
I have mixed feelings about Mel Brooks because he really has cracked me up. Like Spaceballs cracks me up, Blazing Saddles cracks me up, and then at the same time, some of the jokes in his movies, my eyes almost roll out of my skull.
Yeah.
I mean, he just, sometimes it's the cheapest gag.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that it was.
And he plays it. He just plays it so in your face. But
wait a minute.
I got to hand it to him. He's consistently cracked me up. You know, one of his movies that I guess it was panned, like if you look on Rotten Tomatoes, maybe you can look this up on Rotten Tomatoes, but like Dracula, Dead and Loving It. That right there, just that title. You know that Mel Brooks came up with that title, and you could just, I can just see the smile on his face, like looking into the camera as he tells a joke, which is something he was not afraid to do.
That's
He'll
right.
tell a fucking stupid joke, look into the camera, and smile at you. And that title is just like that. Dracula, Dead and Loving It. You ever seen it?
No.
I think it's very underrated. If you have Leslie Nielsen, The Naked Gun, and from Airplane playing Dracula, and you have Mel Brooks directing the entire production, and just the stupid Dracula jokes, and guess who plays Van Helsing, man? Just guess.
I don't know his name. Wasn't he on Wings?
No, that guy's in the movie, but he doesn't play Van Helsing. He plays the Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, you're right. I didn't realize
Jonathan or whatever the guy who was in love with the girl who Dracula was in love with.
who ate bugs.
Anyway,
it
is Mel Brooks himself plays Van Helsing.
Oh, of course he does. Didn't he have a role in Spaceballs? Was he Yoda or something? Yeah, he was Yoda.
Yogurt.
Yeah, used the schwartz. No, I'm on.
He's also like the equivalent of the Emperor too.
Yeah, you're right.
Remember, and he was the guy who's the combination on his luggage was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I don't remember that, but I am looking at Dracula Dead and Loving It here on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's got a 11% on the Tomatometer.
See? It was shat upon.
Oh, that's...
Like, everybody hated it.
That says total count... I'm not really familiar with Rotten Tomatoes. This is total count 36, but audience score, and this is 63,000 people voting, was a solid 49%. So, you know, a take it or leave it show, half and half.
I laughed until I cried
when
it was the guy from Wings and Van Helsing, played by Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
They go in to kill a vampire in the vampire's coffin while it sleeps, right?
Yeah.
So they've got wooden stakes. Mm-hmm. And Mel Brooks is like, okay, you, for some reason, the young man needed to do it. And Mel Brooks was just kind of guiding him. He's like, okay, now... drive the here's the stake and here's the mallet or whatever and just do it, and he gives him the stuff and he runs away, because when he hits the stake into the fucking vampire's heart, it's like a geyser of blood in his face, and that's, to me, that's funny. But then the vampire was still alive
to me,
and Mel Brooks came back out. And he was like, okay, well, you're going to have to do it again because the vampire is still squirming around. I might be getting this all wrong.
It's okay.
But they kept doing it until the entire set that they were on was covered with blood. And it was just nonstop blood spraying in this dude's face. I loved it.
You know what we should do? We should do another podcast. In addition to this one, let's do one where we take some movie. Could be a bad one, could be a good one, I don't know. And all we do is just, for the length of the movie, we just tell the movie. So you've never seen Star Wars? Sit down. Because it starts with a bunch of words going up a screen. And then this little ship is being attacked by this big ship. You and I are going to do this for 2 hours.
Are you fucking with me?
I'm not fucking with you.
Very good job tonight.
I think that would be great.
All I got is I just described an entire scene from a very poorly received Mel Brooks movie.
I liked it so much.
Nobody liked it when they saw it, but they're certainly not going to like it when I describe it.
They're going to love it. They're going to love it even more. They're going to start a whole new thing.
Let's go all the way with this. Bring up the scene. Let's listen to it.
That scene
on YouTube.
Yes, okay, I can try. Here's the thing, though. I got the microphone in my lap here, so I have to hold it with one hand, which means I have to type with the other. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, like, dude, you're on the internet all the time. You're probably really good at one-handed typing, and I am. But usually, it's the other way around. Not my left hand. So let me see.
I just realized why your actual fart earlier sounded like a phone vibrating on a table.
Because your
microphone was like sitting on your lap, and you farted, and it just came through like a vibrating piece of electronic equipment. And look, the only reason why I know it was a fart is because I said, "Was that your butt or your face?" And you said, "It was not my face."
Yeah, but you know what? Okay, so let me ask you a question, and you have to answer with "It was not my." All right.
Okay.
What did you put in? Your nose this morning when you were trying to pick out a loogie, your elbow or your knee?
It was not my knee.
Yeah. So just because I said it wasn't my face doesn't mean I'm saying what it is.
Anyway, but yeah. Because you cannot type, you cannot find this scene with Mel Brooks. And,
well,
and blood squirting all over the place.
I think I can. Let's see. Let's see if this. No, this isn't it, because Dracula's standing up and walking around, so that's not it. I don't know how to search for it.
Here you go. You know what? This is, because I don't give a fuck,
yeah?
I'm going to find it right now, and then I'll tell you what to type in, okay?
Okay.
Tell me a funny story while I do that.
Sure. So the other day, my son said to me, "Daddy, do you have a baby in your belly?" So, yeah, I'm not going to eat anymore. So there's that. And then that same night, I took 4 fudgesicles. I put them in a bowl. I put it in the microwave, melted it. I took out the sticks. I mixed up the goop that was left. I poured it into a cup, and I had a shake. And it was really good, I got to say. Then after that, I went to Mars to get more candy bars. Are you even there, Joe?
Good rhyme. Okay, that's a good place to stop. So okay. All you got to do is type in Dracula, dead and loving it. Poor Lucy.
Poor Lucy.
Yeah. All I typed in was Mel Brooks killing a vampire, and it was the top one. So I guess you could have typed that in too. Sorry.
Okay, this is. No, that's not it.
On YouTube.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right, here they go.
Are we gonna let's do it?
Yeah, I got turned up. One handed, dude. Shit.
Now she's dead. No, she's not. She's alive. She's Nosferatu.
Turn it up for me.
She's Italian? She's undead. She's cursed to spend eternity in misery, hunting the living like a wild animal.
What should we do?
For the sake of her eternal soul, we must destroy her.
Okay.
The only way is to drive a wooden stake through her heart.
So this isn't Dracula, but this is Lucy,
right? Is there
no
other way?
Yeah.
Another. We could cut off her head, stuff her mouth with garlic, and tear off her ears.
Oh, that's not what he said.
Give me the stake.
That is not what he said. He said tear off her ears is not what he said.
No, I can't do it. You do it.
It must be done by one who loved her in life.
What? I only liked her.
Close Why is that? That's the, I've never heard that rule. You have to can only be staked by somebody who loved you in life?
Here. No, it's now Mel Brooks making up stupid rules so he can...
Over her heart.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. It was...
As hard as you can. Wait!
Uh-oh.
Now he runs away.
Yeah.
Now!
Whoa! Whoa. That was not a geyser. That was
God!
That was a lot of blood.
Blood!
That's like, yeah.
She just ate!
She just ate.
She's still alive!
Uh-oh.
Hit her again!
No, I can't.
How much blood can she have left?
This is so terrible, dude.
You mean our podcast?
Yeah. All right, that's just goofy.
Wow. All right. So lay it on me. How dumb was that joke?
No.
Mel Brooks deserved to be panned for this.
No. Okay. Look.
This shit.
I think that, like all good comedians, it's probably one of those things that you build up to. You can't just cold. I'm not saying me, but you can't just cold throw somebody in and say, "Here's a gag where a guy gets splattered a lot of blood." No, you got to work your way up to it. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I like Mel Brooks too. How do we get on the subject of Mel Brooks? Oh yeah. What are you going to do now? Shit in your white hat?
Yeah, and by the way, we don't have to watch this scene, but there's also just Leslie Nielsen playing Dracula, and he's having a dream, and he's out in the sunshine, and he's like, "Oh, well, that's the sunshine. Oh, yeah. This is very nice." And then he eats a piece of fried chicken, and he's like, "Whoa, fried chicken's delicious." There you go.
Okay. All right.
I love it, and.
Yeah, you can. There's nothing. Hey, you know what? Audience, if somebody likes something, that's them. Don't shit in their white hats just because they like something you think they shouldn't like.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Just because I like that scene doesn't mean I should be bent over and taken to the cleaners.
That's right. You shouldn't be. Were we going to make up a new phrase with what are you going to do, shit in your white hat? But that's too long, and I don't want to do that anymore. We got like... 17 minutes left.
What a slog. Oh, fuck.
We got to think of something. Okay, you know what we can do? You and me, we can argue or discuss, have a conversation about what we're going to talk about next week. How about that? Got any ideas? What's on your mind? You want to talk about olive oil?
No.
Okay.
You know what? I think it's about time for us to do one of our tried and true themes.
Which is?
I don't know. Let's pick one. So,
you had one in mind.
My
like,
favorite themes.
Yeah.
I think we should do an old theme.
An old theme.
One that we can one that we can lean on. One that'll give us something to talk about.
My name is Bob, and I'm here to talk to you about something very important. A theme.
It's horror. maybe.
Okay.
Look, what are we doing this time? The only thing that we could come up with tonight is talking about music, and then suddenly I'm talking about Dracula and blood squirting in your face. So,
well, I think music.
Maybe music? Maybe horror?
We could do one of those. Farting and music and horror are like kind of our baseline go-tos. It's always going to come up, right? You and I watched a quote-unquote horror movie when I was visiting. Not really a horror movie, but kind of what we do in the shadows.
I think it's scary. You talking about Alien Covenant?
Oh, no, I was talking about what we do in the shadows, but you're right. Alien Covenant was very scary.
That is a straight-up horror movie, and amongst mm-hmm. other things. Mm-hmm. You know, science fiction, yeah. whatnot.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that movie, I've seen it several times now.
Yeah.
And I think it gets scarier for me every time.
So,
and like I told you, those prequels for the Alien movies really are confusing for me, but it doesn't stop me. In fact, right. that's one of the reasons why I keep watching it.
Yeah.
Of course, this is one of the things that I don't know if it frustrates me about you or if I love it about you, but you did a little recap of one of the movies.
Yeah, I did.
Prometheus, like you just went in, looked it up. And you seem to figure out all of the nuances. And
well, I just read Wikipedia, so, you know.
Well, yeah, you figured out and kind of enlightened me about these movies that I've seen several times.
Yeah.
Kind of put the pieces together for me. Anyway, I'm still a little bit confused about it. I'm going to have to watch them both three mm-hmm. times more each. That's Prometheus and Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
To me, they're a little bit... to understand exactly everything that's going on takes me a lot of effort, and I fail every time. But they are scary, and they have cool monsters. And,
yeah.
It's in space.
I agree with what you just said. Next week we could talk about horror. We could talk about movies in general. I, the other night, watched...
Yeah, let's just do a movie episode.
Let's just do movies. I'll talk about
like
Ready Player One.
Year, like, we've had a good year.
Yeah, but we had a real good year.
We have. I think the show has been a lot of fun this year. And,
yeah.
But I think it's... I think that...
yeah, I agree with you. So I don't know what you're going to say, but I agree with you. Yeah. About. Yeah. No, we're going to do a movie episode next week. Dun, dun, dun.
I feel like I just need a topic to lean on. Because okay. with this microphone in my face, I feel like my brain is empty. And I complain about that a lot, but mm-hmm. it's really playing out.
Do you want me to be
reality?
Do you want me to be your therapist right now? And do a little role playing.
Sure, okay. You're going to be my therapist.
Yeah, I don't know if in your real life your therapist drinks wine out of a pint glass, but that's what your therapist is doing now. Okay, well, welcome right, to my office. Thank you for coming in. I'm as you know, I'm Dr. I'm Dr. Koala Gonorrhea, and I just want to help. So how can I help you today, young lady?
Well, first of all, I'm a man.
Yes.
Maybe that's not clear.
I
do have a beard and a bald head. A lot of
yes.
women don't have that. And is that your real name, Koala Gonorrhea? Dr. Koala Gonorrhea.
That's the English version of it. My ancestors came from a place with a very complicated language, and when we emigrated here about 3 days ago, that was the best translation they could come up with at Ellis Island. But enough about me.
I'm just confused because I, you know, when I talked to you on the phone and set up this appointment, your name was Dr. Smith. So
sorry, I do by law have a filter on my phone so that every time I say koala gonorrhea it comes through as Mr. Smith, which maybe kind of explains a few things, as I did help write some of the scenes for The Matrix. The bad guy had a completely different name in my script, but anyway, again,
can
enough
we
about
maybe
me
get to...
let's get to you. Let's talk about you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Me.
Let's talk about... no, so you're here because of that great big thing on your forehead?
No,
okay,
sir. It's a mole. I don't think it's...
oh,
people
it?
Have moles.
And
I don't consider that. That's not a problem.
Like a,
that's
and a
not
mole
a problem for me. It's just a mole.
Are moles marsupials? I can't remember.
Can we
mm-hmm.
can we just talk about my struggles with depression?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Do you use ether?
No, I don't use ether.
Okay. I find when I struggle,
how is that relevant?
Well, I find when I struggle with someone, if I use a little ether, it's usually not as arduous.
I'm struggling with depression. I don't think that ether is going to help me. I'm not struggling with. I mean, what the hell? What are you talking about?
Nothing. I'm just throwing it out there. The kind of therapy you probably didn't. Maybe you didn't realize this. The kind of therapy I give to my patients is I don't. Which is why you're only paying $5 for this session. But please continue. You're struggling with depression.
Yeah. So for one thing, I just have a consistent feeling of worthlessness.
Mm, I see.
And can you help me with that?
Yeah. Was that before or after the what I can only assume was nose surgery to augment your nose, to bigify it, so to speak? Has this feeling only come up since then, or were you
perhaps born that way? I don't think that my depression will be helped by getting rid of this mole. Are you talking about my mole again?
No, No. I have moved on. I am talking about. I can't even take myself seriously. I'm such a shithead. No, I'm talking about your nose, your big fat nose. I want to be the patient. I want to be the... sorry, our time is up here. Smell this cloth. And scene. Okay.
That was terrible.
It was really bad. Well,
you're
it was impromptu.
You're not a good therapist.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
You're a good bad therapist.
I'm a good bad therapist. Ooh, hey. What? Dude. We've had two brilliant ideas today. One, we're going to make a podcast that's just two dudes telling you what happened in a movie. And two, you've heard a good cop, bad cop. How about good therapist, bad therapist? Huh?
Mm.
Yeah.
Good therapist, bad therapist.
Yeah, one therapist is a little like, all right, you say you got depression. Why don't you just, get over yourself? Okay? I don't know why the bad therapist has a fake New York accent. And the good therapist is like, no. A lot of people struggle with depression. Yeah, well, when I struggled, I use ether. That's a bad, stupid joke, and I don't know why I keep saying it. But you see what I'm saying? Good therapist, bad therapist?
You mean you go to one session, and in that session you have two therapists, the good one and the bad one.
Yeah. Or maybe you bounce back and forth. I like the optics of two in one, though. Yeah, I like that.
How about this? Let's switch it. Why don't you be a patient, and then I'll be. I want to try and be a bad therapist.
Okay, sure. I'm knocking on the door. That's Foley right there.
Yes. Come in.
Hi.
Welcome to my office.
Thank you. I'm Captain Didlittle.
Kill yourself.
Here, smell this cloth and scene. No, I really don't know what to do with that. You said it with such passion and certitude, like.
Well, see, I'm going to be the therapist that does role playing, right?
Okay.
Lots of therapists do role playing, but see, this therapist has really bad timing, so he jumped way ahead.
Okay, all right, I'll try again. I'm sorry.
Way ahead.
I'm sorry. Knock, knock, knock. Whee! Hello, Doctor. I'm Captain Didlittle, and I'm here for my 3 o'clock
appointment. Well, go ahead and have a seat. Have a seat here.
Thank you.
Make yourself comfortable.
Oh, thank you. Is there some place I can?
You're a fucking worthless pig.
But just because I was. Taking off my pants? You said get comfortable.
I do a lot of role playing. Oh. I do a lot of role playing in therapy. I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself.
Sorry. Okay.
A lot of my patients come in and they have to deal with a lot of aggression and hostility in the relationships in their lives. So
yeah.
I'll role play that so they can practice kind of standing up for themselves.
Okay.
Sorry. I'm not a little bit off with my timing today.
Okay. Maybe
so
I can
What are your issues?
What
do you work on?
I'm simultaneously claustrophobic and agoraphobic. If the room
you
that
call
I'm,
yourself a man, you fucking twerp.
No. What is this?
I'm sorry. This is a little. it's jumping ahead a little bit. I swear I won't cut you off again.
Oh, is this the role-playing thing again?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, like I said, if I'm not in a room that's exactly, 10 by 10, I get really, really anxious, and this has had a really huge problem with my life. My bathroom is huge, my living room is very small, and it's comfortable for me, but it's really difficult to entertain. So I'm just wondering, is this an OCD thing, an anxiety thing?
You're ugly. Just really ugly.
So I am. You're right. My soul is very, very ugly. I should just kill myself, like you said. I should.
And see.
You know that thing in improv that which I've never ever taken a lesson in, which is freaking obvious. That thing where it's never no but, it's always yes and.
Yeah.
I'm trying to yes and you through there, but I'm obviously just. I can draw on a blank. I don't know. Kill yourself.
What I've done is I've set up an improv scenario that's impossible for you to move forward with. And I think that joke was worth about, like, that entire scenario only has one joke.
Which is?
I tried to pull three out of it. Well, you interrupt your patient.
Yeah.
With something super terrible.
Yeah.
And then they try to talk again. You make your little explanation. It just, this is like... This is like making an entire movie out of Night at the Roxbury.
I hear what you're saying, but they did. Not that that movie was brilliant. And I'm not joking. And we'll talk about that next week. So we had you said something now that made me think, wow, a third brilliant idea. So the first brilliant idea was two dudes podcasting a movie orally. Second great idea was dueling therapists. And the third one, you just gave me an idea, improv chess. Where instead of cooperating, you do everything you can to sabotage the other improvisationers and, put them in a place where they can't respond. That's great.
And thereby just guarantee that there will be no entertainment.
Absolutely none. Well, it'll be cringy entertainment. Maybe not improv chess. We'll call it iron improv, Because that's an improv thing, right? They come out and they say, you must make a three-course meal with this muffin. And... on Iron Improv, it would be the topic that you will be talking about to make people laugh and also ruin someone's career is, I don't know, lint.
I would like to make a declaration right now.
Okay, yeah.
I believe that after many episodes,
mm-hmm.
This is the worst one.
No.
Yes.
No,
well, maybe not.
You're right. No, I agree with you.
Maybe we've had.
No, this is a terrible, terrible episode. I agree with you.
In the past, am I being too harsh?
I don't think you're being harsh enough.
Okay.
Yeah. So have you ever, you know how like when you
kill
go
yourself
and scene. I don't know. I keep saying that. I'm just going to say that from now on. Can we come up with another one? That'll be our thing. And instead of saying "bend me over and take me to cleaners," we'll mix something with "and scene." Another phrase for me? Okay.
You know what? I think I figured something out.
What's that?
This episode is not for entertainment.
No.
It is for us to just explore, spitball different ideas that we might be able to actually work with and be funny.
Yeah.
About in later episodes.
We're normally the fish.
Trial and error, just about ideas that may or may not be funny, and maybe we can do a better job with them later on. But all we're doing today is exploring stupid shit.
Yeah.
And one thing I wanted to bring up, we thought this up, and I thought in person we were actually doing a decent job of improving this, is the... what did you call it? The hyperdimensional extra being?
Nobody except me is laughing right now because nobody except me knows what you're talking about. But continue so they will. And by the way, you got 45 seconds. Go.
Okay. Well, look. One of the things we can do on a future better episode is... to one of us will be the hyperdimensional extra being, which is a kind of a version of God,
yeah.
and and the other person will just be a lowly human being, and you know, that is the whole setup. And it's just, you're talking to God. God is an asshole, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I actually woke up one morning, and you were sitting next to my fireplace, and I walked out, and I don't even think we said good morning. You just like jumped right into the hyperdimensional extra being, and I was a lowly human being, and you shat all over the meaning of my life, and I thought it was really funny. So maybe we can repeat that or expand upon that one day.
Yeah, let's do that. You said so many things that I wanted to respond to, but you kept going, and I'm so happy because my responses are going to be stupid. Sorry for the loud Roik's up
there. Well, you can't just tease me like that. What are your responses to what?
Okay, so I can't remember because I've been drinking a lot of wine and I'm also old, but it's something about, like, you said something to me and go, oh, yeah. Oh, I was going to say this in terms of, like, saying this is our worst episode and spitballing and all this stuff. Two things. One, have you ever, Joe, walked into somebody's house and realized, wow, everybody's house kind of stinks except mine? You know what I'm talking about?
You talking about my fucking house?
No, not no. Your house is an exception because you guys keep your doors open all the time, so it smells like the outside, which is awesome. No, I'm talking about, you know, you walk into some stuffy suburban house, you walk in, you're like, oof, that's not my house. You know what I'm saying? Every house has a smell.
I do agree with you. It's just The timing is weird because you just got done visiting my house.
Fair enough. And I'm being sincere. I'm being sincere when I say your house didn't have that because, like I said, your house is basically outdoors.
We're constantly, all the doors and windows are open all the time. And, it's for that reason, because I always find that other people's houses smell weird.
Yeah.
Sometimes like butt.
Sometimes.
Sometimes like rotten food.
Sometimes.
Sometimes just like B.O.
Mostly it's B.O.
And I don't want my house to smell like that. And it could very easily smell like that if all my doors were closed. Because my butt and my rotten food and my BO would be overwhelming.
Right.
And so I need a fucking stiff breeze.
A stiff one. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you understand what I'm talking about. Because I was going to say, our show, JBC, has a smell. And we've sort of, last week, opened up some windows and we've lost our smell. This episode, we're just trying to get our smell back. Two.
That's right.
That was the first one. Two. I think that when we're spitballing, you and I are the fish of spitballing. You know that band Fish? You know, like they're a kind of Grateful Dead-esque band, and they just, all they do is jam. All they do is, it's not really improv, but it is. In fact, since that's all they do, it's all they can do. They can't do anything else except for jump around the room. Was that really Big Fish? Anyway.
You're saying that we are the fish of improv.
Of two-guy talking bullshit podcast improv, yes.
Okay.
But this episode,
depending on whether you like fish or not, that could be an accurate statement. A preposterous statement.
On the music episode, we'll talk about how there are some bands that are inarguably really good, even if you don't like them. And I think Fish qualifies. They are, if not genre creators, genre makers. Now, let me finish. What I was going to say was,
okay.
In as much as I think we're the fish of two-man bullshit podcast improv, today we were the Def Leppard of two-man bullshit podcast improv. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up.
That's an insult to Def Leppard.
It's not. They would be the first to admit it. If I said, raise all your hands if you agree with me, seven hands would shoot up. Hey-o!
Oh! God.
All right, I'm going to stop talking for a while. We're going to listen to the music.
Right now, the drummer of Def Leppard feels like he's been bent over and taken to the cleaners.
Yeah. All right, good night, everybody. Next week, we're going to talk about movies, or the next episode you hear may be us. I don't remember what we talked about last week.
But let me give you a recap of what we talked about last week.
All right.
Huey, Louie, and the Newie.
Yep.
We also talked about drugs and alcohol, including ayahuasca, crocodile, and we also talked about acid, coke, koala chlamydia, but I had to cut that whole part out because it was terrible. So that's what, actually the next episode that you listen to will be that episode.
Well,
our previous episode, which is actually our next episode. And then after that, we'll talk about movies.
Yeah, if you go in order. You might not go in order. This might be 200 years later and you're an archivist trying to figure out what the hell's going on with this numbering system. I don't envy you, sir and or madam and or whatever alien entity we've made with by then. Oh, you got to scream something. Goodbye.
Hyperdimensional extra being!